Palisade Dramas present Mr. Smith Disappears, a baffling mystery drama based upon a famous newspaper story of the early 20s, an unsolved mystery that captured the attention of the entire world. In next Sunday's American Weekly, you will find a detailed account of this famous mystery in a feature article entitled, Tragedy No. 3 Deepens the Mystery of the Missing Millionaire Small. You will find it exciting and interesting to read. It is but one of the many fine features to be found in every issue of the American Weekly, the magazine that is read by more people than any other publication in the world, and comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. And now to our story, Mr. Smith Disappears. It was a few days before Christmas, December the 12th, 1919. Sidney Smith, a millionaire theater owner, was sitting in his office in the Smith Theater building, closing a big theatrical deal.
I'm sorry, Mr. Smith. I've got best and final offer. Transcontinental Theaters Incorporated will give you $3 million for your theater's billing of real estate. The terms, $1 million in cash right now. The balance in stock and cash and the payment set forth in the contract.
You drive a hard bargain, Sam. If that's the best offer you can make, I'm afraid I'll have to take it.
Okay, Sid, here's the check. Signed and dotted line.
There you are, Sam. All signed, sealed, and delivered. Well, I promised to meet Mr. Smith at the Roosevelt, and it's 1:30. I'm half hour late now. Got to run. Forgive me for being so late, dear, but I couldn't help it. Business, you know. The Sidney Smith Enterprise is a store. Got the check right here in my pocket.
Oh, Sidney, you don't mean it.
Yes, I do, Alice. It's all over. No more work, no more worry. Oh. I've retired, my dear. Oh. I'm going to devote all my time to you now. You can have plenty of money for your pet charities. We can travel, see the world, enjoy ourselves, just you and me.
Oh, Sidney, it's too good to be true.
Good gracious, Mary. It's 20 minutes to three, and I got to deposit this check before the bank closes. Pierre, bill, please.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. That was a nice luncheon, Pierre. Keep the change.
Well, thanks, sir. Thank you very much, Mr.
That's all right, Pierre. Come along, Alice. I've got to hurry.
Fine cutting, dear. My goodness, Sidney, you must feel good. Besides that,
sir. Sure, I feel good. Why not? Nothing to worry about except to get to the bank. Come along.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Smith.
What can I do for you?
I just got in under the wire. Closing time. Yeah. Well, I hope I'm not too late to deposit this check.
Why, certainly not, Mr. Smith. Always glad to accommodate you.
Mm, that's a rather large amount, too. That's the down payment on the sale of my business, Mr. Jenkins.
Oh?
Sold out. I'm going to retire and enjoy life.
Well, splendid, Mr. Smith. You certainly deserve it.
Now, will you just sign here, Mrs. Smith? Thank you. Now we're all set. Come along, Alice. Goodbye, Jenkins.
Goodbye,
Jenkins. Goodbye, Mrs. Look, you run along and do your shopping, Alice. I'm going back to the office and clean up a few details.
Now, don't you be late for dinner. Remember, dinner's at 7:30.
I'll be home in plenty of time. I'll be there at 6:30. Well, Davis, is there anything we've overlooked?
I don't think so, Mr. Smith. All the papers are in perfect order. There doesn't appear to be anything else.
Fine. How about the drinks I ordered?
Everything's here on the side table. Scotch, soda, martinis, and orchard.
Well, you thought of everything. Are the boys ready?
Yes, sir. And the reception.
Fine. All right, Davis. Tell them to come in.
Sir.
Come in, boys. Well, boys, I've called you all together to make an announcement, but I don't think it'll come as a complete surprise. You all know I've been considering an offer to sell my theatrical interest for a long time now. Today, the deal was closed. Yes, I've sold out the Transcontinental Theater. Now, you've given me the best you had at all times, and I'm sorry to leave you. I've instructed Davis here to draw up bonus checks based upon your salaries and term of service with the company. Now, I trust you all feel that I've dealt liberally with you and rewarded you for your steadfast loyalty and friendship. Boys, I'm going to retire, but if in the future I can be of any help or service, I want you all to feel free to call on me. I promise not to let you down. Oh, enough of this speech making. Let's all have a drink.
Let me have the Gazette and the Journal.
Okay, Mr. Smith. You wait a minute, you get the 7-star finals. It's 4 after 6 to do any minute.
No, Tony. I've got to get home to dinner. Here's a present for you, too.
Thanks, Mr. Smith. You're starting your Christmas early.
That's not Christmas, Tony. That's just a little bonus.
It's a little bonus, Mr. Smith, and thanks a million.
Well, you heard all the
evidence, Major McNabb. Sidney Smith disappeared at fifth and state at 6:15 last night. Tony, the newsboy, was the last one to see him. Since midnight, when Mr. Smith reported he was missing, we combed the city and county, dragged the rivers, covered every point of departure, questioned every ticket agent, trainsman, conductor. You see, he was a great traveler. They all knew him, but no one has seen him.
It's awful clear, Mitchell, but the governor's asked me to step in and take charge and not to come back until I solve the case. Send in the janitor to the theater again, please.
Come in here, Oakley.
Now then, Oakley, what is this story you say might throw some light in this mystery? Well, sir, it was about 2 years ago. I was sleeping out downstairs in the theater when a fellow came in and asked me how I'd like to make $20,000 quick.
Wait, who was this chap? Had you ever seen him before?
No, sir, not then I hadn't. He was a stranger.
I see. Then you have seen him since. Do you know his name?
Aye, Malloy. He afterwards got a job in charge of posters and billboards.
Do you know this Malloy, Inspector?
Yes, sir. A very eccentric sort of a cut. A little bit crazy, I should say. Given to telling tall, fantastic stories, but harmless enough. He's being watched very closely.
Issue a warrant and bring him for questioning at once. Now, Oakley, go ahead with the story.
Well, sir, when he asked me if I wanted to earn $20,000, sure, I thought he was a bit crazy, so I humored him and asked him what it was all about. Well, he said they were going to get Mr. Smith. Malloy said he'd sneak up behind Mr. Smith in his office and strangle him. He said, you won't have to help in the dirty work. Mrs. Smith will get her money. My share is $75,000. Yours is $20,000. There's another man in it. You know him, but I won't tell you who he is until you see him. Now, that was about the gist of the conversation. And when I told him I wasn't interested in it, well, he laughed and went away.
And did you tell anyone before about all this?
Oh, well, no, I went to tell Mr. Smith, but he weren't in, so I told Miss Davis. She said she'd take care of him.
And when did you see this Malloy again?
Oh, she was about a year ago. He came to work in the post and billboard department. He only stayed about 2 months and then quit.
I see. And you have never heard of any more threats against Mr. Smith? No, or hear of anyone who might hate him?
No, sir, not at all. In fact, I'd forgotten all about the affair until all this excitement.
All right, that's all. You may go.
Inspector, we had every particle of ash, clinker, and burnt coal removed from the furnace in the theater boiler room.
Our scientists and chemists have gone over every bit of it thoroughly with microscopes. There's not a single trace of human bone or flesh. That explodes the theory that Smith may have been lured back to the theater, murdered, and the body cremated in the furnace.
And I have a personal report from the sanitation, police, and the fire squad that covered every dump in the vicinity of the city. We went over every inch thoroughly, especially the Hillsdale dump. Not a single trace, a clue.
And that kills the theory and rumor that Smith was murdered and his dismembered body hidden in the dump.
Here's a full report on the search conducted through freight and express shipments that have gone out over the past week.
Every trunk, packing case, and box big enough to hold a body was examined. Still no luck.
Over 500,000 circulars with a complete description of Smith, his habits and particulars have been printed and mailed all over the world.
Response from that will take time. They've had to release that crazy first bill poster Malloy for complete lack of evidence, backed up by airtight alibis.
Well, if you ask me, McNabb, it's a perfect crime.
Nonsense, Inspector. There's no such thing as a perfect crime.
I hope you're right. A man disappears from the main corner of a city of 700,000 people. He's wealthy, hasn't an enemy or a worry in the world. Home life perfect, no bad or envious relations. Suicide theory definitely dismissed. Murder theory lacks motive. Kidnapping still very questionable, but regarded by experts as most improbable. Yet the man disappears. No trace, no clue, nothing.
Missing millionaire seen in Montreal.
Missing theater magnet found in Frisco.
Millionaire Smith safe in Paris.
Sidney Smith, missing millionaire held in Tokyo.
Sidney Smith given up for dead.
Court ruled Smith legally dead. Court award Smith millions to widow.
Mrs. Sidney Smith found dead in bed.
Mrs. Sidney Smith leaves $4 million to charity.
Sisters of missing millionaire contest widow's will.
Your Honor, my clients are petitioning this court that the will of their sister-in-law, Mrs. Alice Smith, widow of the late Sidney Smith, be set aside under the law of this state in which the murderer cannot dispose of his or her estate. My clients have offered this testimony that Mrs. Sidney Smith suffered from a guilty conscience after her husband's disappearance. The court has been pleased to declare the evidence insufficient. In the words of Shakespeare's Hamlet, His Honor says, I'll have grounds more relative than this. Very well. I introduce this sheet of paper as Exhibit A. Gentlemen, this little document contains a confession in which the late Mrs. Sidney Smith accuses herself of her husband's murder. Yes, gentlemen. This confession from beyond the grave of a woman whose lips were sealed in death will prove my client's claim, and what is more, solve the 16-year-old mystery of the disappearance of Sidney Smith. I beg leave to read this to the court, Your Honor.
Very well. You may proceed.
Poor Sidney was killed on December 2nd, 1919. And I know that a part of his body was sunk and buried in the Hillsdale Ravine dump. And other parts were burned in the Smith Theater's furnace. You will be surprised, my dear Mary and Elizabeth, to learn that I am more than any other person responsible for your brother's death. God forgive me. I will not cause any more pain to a living soul. That is why I will not reveal the names of those who are involved in this gruesome crime. But I will tell you one thing. It cost me plenty to close their mouths. I am leaving the bulk of your brother's estate to those who are doing Christ's work on earth. They will always pray for the repose of our souls. Signed, Alice Martin Smith.
I object, Your Honor, to admitting this alleged confession into the evidence until it has been closely examined by handwriting experts and proved to be genuine.
Objection sustained. The handwriting experts are here and ready. The bailiff may hand over the evidence marked Exhibit A for their inspection. Any objections?
None whatever, Your Honor.
Very well. Proceed with the case.
That is all, Your Honor. I rest my case.
The counsel for the defendant may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Major McNabb, will you take the stand, please? You have been in charge of the Smith case since its inception. You are, I believe, recognized both in this country and abroad as one of the foremost criminologists in the world.
I think we all agree on Major McNabb's position in the science of criminology. Proceed with the question.
During the first few months of Sidney Smith's disappearance, you paid several visits to Smith's home, did you not?
I did. I examined it thoroughly on several occasions without finding the slightest trace of a clue.
You questioned Mrs. Smith and kept her under rather close observation, didn't you?
I did, for more than 5 years, all to no avail.
In your expert opinion, have you ever had any reason to suspect Mrs. Smith of any complicity in Mr. Smith's disappearance?
None whatever. We should have acted in accordance with the law.
Thank you. Now, you heard the alleged confession read with reference to the disposal of the body in the Hillsdale dump and in the furnace of Smith's bed. Isn't it true that you made thorough scientific examinations of the ashes of the furnace and the cellar every day for weeks? It is also a fact, is it not, that you thoroughly searched the Hillsdale dump?
That is correct. We never uncovered the slightest clue.
And immediately after Mrs. Smith's death, you made a very close and thorough examination of the house from cellar to attic.
We did, and it revealed absolutely nothing. In fact, since the day after he disappeared, there hasn't been one single clue or piece of new evidence to go on. And despite the cooperation of the finest minds in the field of international criminology, the mystery remains unsolved.
The alleged confession proved to be a clumsy, incredible, and unquestioned forgery. The case was dropped, and the estate was distributed, as Mrs. Smith had willed it, to religious organizations for charity. One sister, whose health was undermined by the trial, died shortly afterwards. And quite recently, the second sister of Sidney Smith died an accidental death, the result of an automobile accident, ending at last the tangled lives of the Smith family. You have just heard the front page drama, Mr. Smith Disappears, based upon a feature story, Tragedy Number 3 deepens the mystery of missing Millionaire Small. This and many other stories, articles, and feature fiction are to be found in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper.